All right. I mentioned this earlier on. We want to take a closer look at this claim.
I mean, the fact that we are living longer is great news. And, you know, it's quite kind of remarkable that somewhere in the world today, it's highly probable that a child has been born that's going to live to 150.
150. Big call. Joe Hockey is saying that dramatically longer lifespans are one of the reasons why we need to get health spending under control. The opposition says the Treasurer has lost the plot with his comment that somewhere in the world today, it's highly probable that a child has been born that will live to be 150. But is that suggestion all that fanciful? Professor Peter Smith is Dean of Medicine at the University of New South Wales. A very good morning to you.
Good morning, Hamish.
Is he right? Could we or could someone being born today live until they're 150?
Well, I think this is no longer in the realm of science fiction. I think that it's quite possible that a child born today, particularly a girl, might well live that long. When we look at the evidence, I mean, I'm a healthy male in my 60s. When I was born after the Second World War, my life expectancy was about 65. It's now, I'm told by actuaries, that I can expect to live till I'm nearly 90. So there's been a 20-25 year extension of my lifespan since I was born. Now, we know that girls born today have an expectation of living to 100, and that's not fanciful. So with advances in medical science and other things, I think it's quite possible that someone born today might well live many decades beyond 100.
I'm reading, Professor Smith, that life expectancy actually increases by about 3 months each year. So do we actually need to stop at 150? Could ultimately we be living longer than that?
I think what has led to the increase in life expectancy that I've benefited, and you and others, many others have benefited from, has been advances in lifestyle. We now understand to live a healthy lifestyle, advances in medicine and in public health, etc., immunisation. Now, what's happening now is that scientists, including there's a guy that I know quite well, David Sinclair, who works at Harvard and at my university, UNSW in Sydney, who's studying the genetic basis, if you like, why cells age and why they die. And we understand now this is programmed into them. We now are learning to understand how we can, if you like, readjust that program and develop drugs that will lead to cells living longer, animals living longer, and in fact, people living longer. The sort of first crude attempt of this was the understanding that resveratrol, a chemical found in plants and actually in red wine, can extend lifespan if the resveratrol is taken in large amounts. But we now have got chemicals, drugs developed that are many, many times more powerful. So I think this change, there's going to be a whole step change here that can lead to a major extension in life.
Is it really possible that someone that has been born already might live until 150, do you think, or is that a claim, part of the claim far-fetched?
I think someone who is born now, who's a baby now, that could happen. Probably won't happen to me, but
a long way to go. You got a lot more work to do if that's the case.
Sorry, go on.
Just want to pick up on some of the points you were making then, though. Stem cell therapy, drugs that slow the aging process. Mm. I mean, this has been the stuff of fantasy.
Yeah.
But are we moving into an era where that is very much the reality and probably something that many of us will be encountering in some shape or form?
I believe that that is the case. And as I said, as we unlock the secrets of why cells age and why life ends, I think that science will find ways of extending life. I don't think we'll live forever, and I think there will be some new upper limit on it. And I mean, we say 150. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I think people can expect, children born today can expect to live beyond 100.
What sort of quality of life do you think we can potentially have over the age of 100?
That's a very good point. There is no point in just extending life if one is sort of totally incapacitated and dependent for the next many, many decades. The point of it is that the work that's being done at the moment indicates it is possible to extend life and also extend quality of life so that people will be capable of enjoying their extended life and perhaps more importantly, be able to contribute to society. They'll work longer and they'll contribute in many other ways to society. So I think society is going to change quite radically as this happens. Mm. I mean, it is already happening. We are seeing people living longer, working longer, and I think this is just the beginning.
Really incredible to think about the amount of change that would be needed to all of our systems. I noticed that the oldest living person on record was a Japanese person who lived to be 122. Mm. How important are the environmental factors?
Well, I think environment and living a healthy lifestyle is quite important. I mean, obviously, a genetic makeup's important too. But, and again, I think this is one of the things that has led to our extension of life expectancy for the current older generation is the understanding that environment and healthy lifestyle are critically important.
All right. Professor Peter Smith, we'll leave it there. 93 is the new 20, it seems.
That's right.
Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Good.
Professor
Thank you.
Peter Smith, Bye. Dean of Medicine at the University of New South Wales.